a Friday edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. Welcome, everyone. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. On today's episode, Kylie Harlan gets information from one of University of California's multiple ag research centers on their use of electric tractors and how it can contribute to a carbon-neutral future for agriculture. And Taylor Charlstrom will have another update on the upcoming Crop Consultant Conference in Visalia, California, September 28th and 29th. And I'll bring you a look at regional and national agricultural news, beginning with regional ag news right after this.
Sponsored by the California Walnut Board and Commission, supporting the industry with on-farm innovation through production research, advocacy for government programs, and driving consumer demand. Doing more together.
The California Department of Food and Agriculture is now accepting grant applications for a state water efficiency and enhancement program pilot project for the Southern Desert region of California. Of the $50 million appropriated to sweep in a Budget Act of 2021, CDFA is allocating $2 million for this solicitation. The eight-week application period is running until November 8th at 5 p.m. Central Time. California farmers and ranchers and California-recognized Native American tribes within the Southern Desert region are eligible to receive funding of up to $200,000. CDFA has defined the Southern Desert region as Imperial and Riverside counties east of the Santa Rosa Mountains and the San Jacinto Mountains. Supported project components will include the use of weather, soil, or plant-based sensors for irrigation scheduling, irrigation system changes, fuel conversion, renewable energy installation, utility interconnections, pump retrofits, or replacements. Projects will be required to reduce on-farm irrigation water use and will have to demonstrate that greenhouse gas emissions from irrigation water pumping will be offset or will not increase following the installation of the project. For 3 years following project completion, all recipients of this pilot program will provide post-project water and energy records to CDFA so that the GHG impact of projects can be evaluated in consideration of California's climate change mitigation goals. SWEEP was established in 2014 through emergency drought legislation to provide incentives to California farmers who are reducing on-farm water use and GHG emissions from irrigation and water pumping systems. In 2021, CDFA's Environmental Farming Ag Science Advisory Panel convened in an ad hoc advisory group to make recommendations on improvements to the SWEEP program. One recommendation was to consider a water-focused incentive program for the Southern Desert region, where farmers were having difficulty obtaining SWEEP funding. Plenty Unlimited has announced it has secured up to 120 acres of land near Richmond, Virginia, to build the largest, most advanced indoor vertical farm campus in the world. The centrally located Plenty Richmond Farm Campus marks Plenty's expansion beyond the U.S. West Coast and will bring fresh, healthy produce to the East Coast year-round. Plenty plans to deploy several large-scale vertical farms on the campus in the coming years, with a potential annual production capacity exceeding 20 million pounds across multiple crops, including strawberries, leafy greens, and tomatoes. As more domestic wells dry up, some people are frustrated seeing new agriculture wells going in. That's why some showed up to a Tehama County Board of Supervisors meeting earlier this week. Behind the doors at the meeting, supervisors were called out over how they are handling drying up wells across the county. One woman took the podium and handed each of the supervisors an old agriculture agenda about the issue that has not been discussed in nearly a year. Liz Mary said that you people have continuously ignored all domestic wells and domestic users. On October 5th of 2021, supervisors were talking about temporarily restricting new agriculture wells, but ended up tabling the discussion. Supervisors say they will take a look at this old agriculture agenda item at a future meeting and discuss a possible moratorium on agriculture wells. The Groundwater Commission says it does not think there needs to be a moratorium. Instead, it believes the restrictions will help to maintain domestic and agriculture wells. On August 31st, California legislatures passed a bill that would ban the sale of agricultural land in the state to foreign governments. Introduced by State Senator Melissa Hurtado, a Democrat from Fresno, the Food and Farm Security Act aims to protect the state's agricultural industry from potentially adverse foreign interests, citing a concern over volatile commodity prices and global food security issues resulting from Russia's invasion of Ukraine earlier this year. The bill would, beginning on January 1st, prohibit a foreign government from purchasing, acquiring, leasing, or holding a controlling interest in agricultural land in the state. The bill defines a foreign government to include not just an actual foreign state, but also a state-controlled enterprise of a foreign government. Controlling interest means possession of 51% ownership interest in an entity. A lesser ownership interest also qualifies as a controlling interest if a foreign government actually directs the business and affairs of the entity without the requirement or consent of another party. The bill does not affect land owned by a federally recognized Indian tribe or its government units and enterprises, and does not apply to any interest held by a foreign government prior to January 1st. Transactions in violation of this law would be void. The bill would also require the California Department of Food and Agriculture to publish federal data regarding foreign ownership interest in California farmland. This data comes from the filing submitted pursuant to the Agricultural Foreign Investment Disclosure Act. Currently, AFIDA filings are maintained by the U.S. Department of Agriculture and are only available to the public via a Freedom of Information Act search. The proposed bill would require the CDFA to publish information relating to foreign interest in California farmland, including the total amount of California farmland owned by foreign interests, changes and trends in foreign ownership of farmland on a year-to-year and 10-year comparison, foreign ownership of water rights in California, information regarding foreign ownership of water desalinization facilities, and information regarding foreign ownership of energy production, storage, or distribution facilities in California. The CDFA would be charged to publish this report on an annual basis on its public website. The bill now goes to Governor Gavin Newsom, who has until the end of the month to sign it into law. California's bill follows a similar effort at the federal level, sponsored by Republican Senators Tom Cotton of Arkansas, Tommy Tuberville of Alabama, and Roger Marshall of Kansas, that prohibit members of the Chinese Communist Party from purchasing any land in the United States. Beginnings of a robotics revolution in the agricultural world will take place in California October 18th through the 20th. Over 800 people who work in the food system, technology experts, and others are expected to gather at FIRA USA in Fresno to discover the latest self-sustaining solutions to farm labor shortages and environmental challenges. They will be joined by representatives of the University of California, Western Growers, Fresno Merced, Future of Food, and the City of Fresno. Karen Ross, California Department of Food and Agriculture Secretary, will kick off FIRA USA by outlining challenges to the food system that technology may address. FIRA stands for Forum International de la Robotique Agricole in French, or International Forum for Agricultural Robotics, and was launched in 2016 in southern France. Since then, a world FIRA is held every year in southern France, as well as a regional FIRA that is held in different locations to address specific markets.
The Crop Consultant Conference returns on September 28th and 29th in Visalia, California. Co-hosted by Progressive Crop Consultant Magazine and the Western Region Certified Crop Advisors Association, this two-day conference features two concurrent CE tracks for both PCAs and CCAs. Earn the DPR and CCA credits you need. Network on our trade show floor and join us in giving away scholarships and honorariums presented by Western Region CCA, including the CCA of the Year Award. Visit progressivecrop.com/conference.
Kylie Harlan gets information now from one of the University of California's multiple ag research centers on their use of electric tractors and how they can contribute to a carbon neutral future for the ag industry.
The University of California has pledged to become carbon neutral by 2025. To help this effort, UC Agriculture and Natural Resources have replaced several of their diesel-powered tractors with electric tractors at its research and extension centers. John Bailey, director of UC Agriculture and Natural Resources Hopland Research and Extension Center, tells us more about how electric tractors can help reduce reliance on fossil fuels.
Well, I think the significance is two parts. One is that it gives us the chance to start trialing a technology that's fairly new to the market and document how well it works in different situations so that there's an independent party out there evaluating how these units perform. With any kind of new technology that's being innovated, there's going to be hiccups. And we found that with some other types of biogasification units that we're working on. So it's really a chance for the university to independently evaluate and then report out the results so that as farmers are making decisions, they're not having to just rely on the salespeople and the marketing materials from the companies that are producing the units. So I think that's one aspect where it's a potential leverage point of getting unbiased information out to farmers who might be interested in adopting, but are risk averse because, you know, agriculture has always had very tight margins and farmers really have to rely on their tractors. So you don't want to jump into a new type of innovative technology that's a key component of your operation. So that's one, is that evaluation value. The other is, you know, it's part of a much larger portfolio of projects that the UC is working on, whether it's biochar or direct air carbon capture solutions, that is really trying to help drive innovation in the marketplace, where we need all kinds of solutions to overcome our dramatic and increasing climate challenges.
Aside from climate and environmental benefits, Bailey said electric tractors can also offer benefits for the operators. He tells us more about the benefits as well as the tractor's current performance and features.
So in terms of how they're performing well. We only purchased in the 25 horsepower units. This company, Solatrac, which is an American manufacturer, they're based in Santa Rosa, California, is evolving their lineup. And so when they demoed a couple of units for us, one of them was the 25 horsepower, and then they also have a 70 horse. But they're switching over. They designed the 70 horse around vineyard operations, and it didn't really fit what our needs were here on the site. And they're also eliminating that model and going up to an 85 horse. So the 25 horse is a utility tractor, and we're using it on the different centers. I believe we purchased 7 units for 7 different centers. And I can mostly speak to our experience here at Hopland. I think the wonderful thing about these tractors is that they are almost silent and they don't emit any fumes. So here at Hopland, we have a sheep flock and sheep barns that we have to clean out every year. And that involves going into tight spaces. And if you have a diesel tractor, which is what we've used in the past, the driver is continually getting exposed to those fumes. And then also they're working in a really noisy environment because diesel motors produce quite a bit of noise. So those are two of the real benefits is on the operator side, you don't have those kind of annoyances and potential health effects. The battery charge lasts anywhere between 3 and 10 or 15 hours, depending on what you're doing. So if you're just hauling a light load around on flat ground, you're going to get a much more extended battery life. Whereas if you're doing something like rototilling or mowing heavy grass, you might be down in the 3 to 5 hour range. So that's one thing where you have to consider. And some of the other models that they have exchangeable secondary battery packs. So it's like a tray battery that you slide out, put into a charger, and then slide another one in so that you're able to keep going, just like you're filling up a gas tank. And this unit doesn't have that. So I think one of the downsides right now is that there's, like with electric cars, there's a limited charge that you have in the battery, and then there's a little bit of downtime while you're recharging it. One other thing we've noticed, which isn't uncommon in tractors, is that we're going to need to add some extra weight to the front end, because what's happening is when we're in the barns and we're using the front end loader to scrape the floors, we're not able to get enough downward pressure with the weight of the tractor by itself. So, it's got an attachment on the front where you can add on additional weights, pretty common across all different types of tractors, so that you can get increased traction. So that's something that we're going to need to be doing, but it's not outside the normal range. But I think those are kind of the main benefits: no noise, no exhaust, and downsides of the lightness of the tractor and having to charge it periodically. And one other great thing about these units is that the manufacturer integrated all the charging gear into the tractor. So you can basically plug it straight into a 110 outlet or a 220 outlet and charge without having to establish a charging station at your farm. So that's a nice feature.
Bailey said tractors are not the only electric vehicles that are being used at research and extension centers.
In our latest round of vehicle purchasing to replace units that have aged out, we're prioritizing hybrid and electric. So here at Hopland, we're purchasing in a Toyota Prius Prime, which has a plug-in feature so that you can operate straight off electric mode. And then we're also evaluating options for a hybrid or electric pickup truck to replace a Dodge Dakota that we have on the center. And that's something where, again, it's kind of potentially trialing and testing newer technology where the Ford Maverick and the F-150 Lightning are options that we're looking at. And we're also potentially considering, although the price premium is a barrier at this point, is the Rivian electric truck, because we have a really rugged site and we go from 600 to 3,000 acres here and have about 5,400 acres. So the Dodge Dakota that we're replacing is used in a lot of rugged conditions. And then one other option that the price barrier is something that we're struggling with is we do a lot of extension events here, educational events where we take people out on the property. We have an existing Chevy Suburban that's aging out, and we've been planning on replacing it with a gas or diesel van. But we're looking now at the possibility of these smaller scale school buses that are run on electric. And a friend of mine here is the director of operations for the local school district, and they've been having great success with those electric buses. And we're not having to do long distance hauling, so that's something else where we might be bringing that in. But these are all options that we're considering right now.
Electric tractors are just the beginning of reducing reliance on fossil fuels. Bailey said this could lead to improving independence from fossil fuels across the agriculture industry.
I'm optimistic and excited about is that these electric tractors are an example of American innovation and developing a new technology. We always want to be trying to support the best technology that's out there, and the fact that it's made here in America and that we're able to use that as a demonstration model to help provide education and evaluation, I think is really exciting. I think that moving to electric tractors is something that is needed here in the future. And one of the things that I think is wonderful about them is that they can create more energy independence for our farmers. A lot of them have been struggling with dramatically increased diesel prices, and it's affecting their bottom line. A lot of farmers also have solar panels, and there's incentives in the new Inflation Reduction Act to purchase new solar panels. So by pushing forward electric tractor technology at the same time as there's more renewable energy sources being put in on farms, this can help de-link our agriculture from diesel fuel. And I think that's a very exciting development. I know that the agriculture sector has had some negative press recently around the, here in California, the amount of water that ag uses, but also the amount of carbon emissions that are coming from our agricultural operations. And so by pushing forward on electric tractors and spurring the adoption of this new innovation, I think that there's a legitimate and a PR value to farmers switching to electric, because agriculture has taken, not a very fair beating in a lot of the media around the amount of impact that farming has on the climate. And sometimes they're not recognizing the value of all the food that's being produced by our farmers. And so these little things, I mean, little and big, but these little things like let's change over this one type of technology can then be a point to bring up of like, there are carbon emissions from farms, but we are also innovating as fast as we can to develop new technologies that will help us perform more sustainably in an environmental sense. I also think that there's great potential for these to provide health benefits to farmers where they're not being exposed to the noise of the diesel motor, which can have hearing impacts over the long term. And then also, I've been reading some interesting research that's been coming out about the cognitive effect of breathing particulate matter, where some research is showing that it could be up to a 7% decline in your cognitive ability in the short run. And there's some papers looking at the long-term effects on cognition from exposure to particulate matter in the air. And so by switching over to an emission-free technology, farmers won't be exposed to as much diesel exhaust. I mean, I know from the days of myself farming and driving a tractor that that was always an annoyance. You're out in this beautiful field and you're tilling and you can smell the earth, and then you get hit by this huge wave of diesel. And to not have that annoyance and to not have that potential health impact.
This is Kylie Harlan reporting for My Ag Life.
Do you know the nutrient use efficiency people? Yes, I'm talking about the folks at Verdesian Life Sciences that deliver crop insights and solutions so California crops grow to their full potential. From micros with a proprietary delivery system to solutions that help improve the uptake and assimilation of applied nutrients. Visit VLSCI.com to learn more about Verdesian solutions or to connect with a local representative right here in California.
Overall, the economics in a dairy industry are good right now, according to Senior Vice President of Membership Services with the National Milk Producers Federation, Chris Galen. However, margins are tight.
Yes. Well, I would liken it, Lori, to kind of a horse race for anyone in livestock, regardless of the critters that you produce. But since we're talking about the dairy cattle, the challenge we've had this year has been that while we've had great milk prices, record high milk prices, the best we've ever had, on the input side, particularly for feed grains and oil seeds, a lot of those prices have been at very high levels, maybe not records, but still very, very high. So if you are a dairy producer going to buy a certain proportion of their feedstuffs for their animals, a lot of that big milk check number gets poured right back out to help pay for input costs. And obviously that also applies to fertilizer and fuel prices. Now, thankfully, fuel prices, it looks to have peaked and are coming down.
Once again, Chris Galen with the National Milk Producers Federation. Retail fertilizer prices tracked by DTN for the first week of September of 2022 show most fertilizer prices continue to fall. However, the five-week streak of declines in all eight major fertilizers snapped as one fertilizer price inched higher. No fertilizers were noticeably lower or higher. DTN designates a significant move as anything 5% or more. Seven of the eight major fertilizers were just slightly lower. DAP had an average price of $952 a ton, MAP at $1,009 a ton, potash at $878 a ton, urea $800 a ton, 10340 at $866 a ton, anhydrous at $1,357 a ton, and UAN 32 at $658 a ton. UAN 28 was the only fertilizer with a higher price, and it was just slightly more expensive. USDA Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack has announced the initial investment in pilot projects designed to create new revenue streams for climate-smart producers and landowners. USDA Ag News reporter Rodney Bain.
The initial round of investments within USDA's Partnership for Climate Smart Commodities program has been announced. The breakdown from Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack includes
$2.8 billion utilized to finance 70 projects. We believe these 70 projects will enlist more than 50,000 farms across the United States, involve somewhere between 20 and 25 million acres dedicated to developing climate smart commodities.
Over 450 project proposals were submitted in this first funding pool. Pilots to develop market opportunities for American commodities produced via climate-smart production practices. A second round of projects and funding for such is scheduled to be announced later this year.
We utilize Commodity Credit Corporation resources. We are convinced that we have sufficient capacity within that program, not only to pay for the normal farm bill programs that are normally paid out of CCC, but also to be able to increase our commitment to climate smart agriculture.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Farm Foundation has announced an online forum on antimicrobial stewardship in agriculture. It is on September 27th at 9 a.m. Central Time. More information at farmfoundation.org.
There's giant potential sleeping in your soil. Under drought conditions, it's never been more important to wake it up. Phycoterra, a superior soil microbial food, activates the native microbes responsible for your soil's health and water-holding capacity.
Adding Phycoterra to your crop increases water retention up to 10% and optimizes crop nutrient availability. Plus, it delivers excellent mixability and application flexibility, making it easy to add to your existing crop input strategy. Visit phycoterra.com to learn how you can wake up your soil's giant potential with Phycoterra.
In other news, the return of live entertainment at this year's Crop Consultant Conference in Visalia at the end of September will feature Dennis Gaxiola, who is recognized as one of America's funniest clean comedians. Don't miss the opportunity to see Dennis perform at the conference and get a good laugh with your colleagues. We got a chance to speak with Dennis before the conference.
Dennis, you're actually the first person to be on the show that does not have some sort of ag-related background. Exciting.
I play Farmville. I think that I should get credit for that.
Hey, that counts. That counts. Well, perfect. Dennis, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself so attendees can kind of get an idea of who you are?
Well, I'm Dennis Gaxiola. I'm a comedian. I'm a clean comedian, so you don't have to worry about some vulgarity or anything. I pride myself in making everybody laugh. I have two specials that are ranked in the top 10 for dry bar comedy, which is specializes in clean comedy. I think my specials have over 150 million views now, and I'm looking forward to being with you guys.
Definitely, and we're looking forward to having you there. I'm curious, you know, I don't know if you've put your act together yet for the big day, but maybe can you give an idea of what attendees might be able to expect from you and your act at the conference this year?
You know, I have a unique story. Well, not unique, but a funny story about remarrying my wife. So I do a lot of relationship jokes. Although it's taboo for some people, there's good humor in our cultural differences. So I touch on culture in a not in a malicious way, but in a funny way to point out that we're not that different. So I read the room when I get to an event, and then I go from there. So from young to old, multicultural, whatever it is, I've been on like the Fluffy Tour, the Latin Kings of Comedy Tour. Dry Bar is run by a Mormon organization. So when I shot those two specials, the audience was as snow white as possible. And I've been on BET, which is Black Entertainment Television, 9 different episodes. So I feel like I'm a pretty, my comedy is pretty diverse, and there'll be a little bit of something for everybody.
Definitely, and I'm sure everyone there will love to have you. Dennis, why don't we talk a little bit about some of the highlights of your career as well? You've had some pretty impressive highlights. Can you speak on that a little bit?
One of the biggest highlights was performing at the Apollo Theater in New York, and that, you know, when I was backstage looking at the pictures of Cab Calloway and Sammy Davis Jr. and Ella Fitzgerald, I was like, what am I doing here? These are like some of the iconic great entertainers of the 20th century. And that was pretty amazing. Didn't get booed off stage. I survived. A little bit of a standing ovation. They were leaving. That's not the point. They stood up. the Dry Bar special going viral, like I said, like 150 million views. That's just bonkers. I got 1 million views an hour when it went viral. So there's like a little counter on the video, and every time I checked it went up 1 million, and I was like, oh my God, this is what viral feels like. So, you know, it's just pretty cool that I have a little something for everybody, I feel like.
Definitely. That's great. And that's really going to be valuable at this conference. Anything else you want to say to attendees that might be listening before we end it here?
Oh, come with an open mind and ready to laugh. Laughter is good medicine. And I love when people are after an event, they go, we didn't expect that, but that was awesome. And that makes me feel good, you know, professionally, but also, it's also pretty awesome that people got a little charge out of some laughter, because it's like the good book says, it's good medicine.
Definitely. Well, great sentiment there, Dennis. Dennis Gaxiola will be this year's entertainment at the Crop Consultant Conference in Visalia on September 28th and 29th. Dennis, thanks for joining me on the show today.
Well, thank you for having me, and I look forward to being there and having a good time with you guys in the wild, wild city of Visalia.
As always, information on registration for the conference can be found at progressivecrop.com. For My Ag Life, I'm Taylor Chalstrom.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.